Victory in Grace proudly presents the following message in the Proverbs series by Dr. James A. Scudder, founder and senior pastor of the Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church.
If God calls, it pays to answer. And I tell you, sometimes God calls and we don't answer. And I tell you, there's something in this message tonight. As I said, point one, this should be our greatest fear. And let me tell you something. Your greatest fear should be when you pray, God will laugh at you. You say, oh, that's impossible. God will never do it. Yes, he will. We're not going to give you some silk-coated sermon that's just trying to tickle your ears. We're going to teach you the Word of God, what it really has to say. But I'll tell you one thing. When God speaks, you should listen. And I mean, you should really listen. In Proverbs 1, 24 through 26, because I have called and you have refused, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Here it is. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now that gives chills down my spine. And that should give chills down your spine. And this is speaking to teenagers, to middle, and to older. This is speaking to every one of us. The tenderness that Christ offers. And he is talking now about a sleepless watchfulness. I didn't say sleeping. I said sleepless watchfulness of watching to do the things that God wants us to do. Nothing can be compared to the calling of God. When God calls, when God wants you to witness, you say, well, I'm too shy. Well, let me tell you, there were some of those kids downtown that are shy, and they witnessed. You say, I could never do it. Well, maybe some of you can't, and I understand that, but you can put tracks out. And a lot of you can witness, and you're using it as an excuse, and you can still do it. And we need to do it. When God calls you, and he calls you into a ministry, I'll never forget a man that used to be in our church, and he said, Pastor, I know positively, without a shadow of a doubt, I was called into God's full-time Christian service as a preacher, and I never accepted it. And it was too late for him to accept. Too late for him to accept. When God gives you warnings and calls, now I'm going to talk about not only God calling, but I'm going to talk about God giving you warnings. And when God gives you a warning and you don't accept it, you better be scared. Because there's going to be a day that you call out to God, you haven't listened, you've heard the preacher preach, you've heard him talk about pornography, and you've heard him talk about this and this and this, and you keep going. And there's going to be a day when you call out to God and he won't hear you and he will laugh at you and he will not help you. He will mock you. Now listen, if you don't know what that means, let me tell you something. If I had to live in this world and I couldn't go to God and ask God to help me, I couldn't get through a day. And if I thought God was going to laugh at my calamity and when the fear comes, he will mock me, that means he'll say, I told you. I told you so. I told you so. Now let me make it clear. When God gives us warnings, when God tells us what we should do and we don't heed him, there'll be a day, if you don't straighten your life out, that you're going to pray to God and he's going to laugh at you. Do you get that? Do you get that? I hope you get it. The word refused is man, and it's a primitive root. It means to refuse utterly. You have taken refuge under the imperfections of Christians. You have looked at the others around you, and you say, I'm not that much worse, or I'm a little bit better, and you have taken your refuge under the Christians around you. Like I said this morning, as I quoted Tozer, if every piano was tuned to the piano, all the pianos would be out of tune. But when they're tuned to Christ, all the Christians are going to be tuned correctly and to each other. And if you just look around and your refuge to not obey Christ is, well, I'm better than these others. First of all, you don't know if you're better than these others. You know, it's awful easy to excuse ourselves and condemn others, isn't it? And God's given you a call. He's given you a call. You know, someone says, how do you know when you're a real mom? Someone said in that little article I was reading, they said, when you wear sweats all day long and never think about getting out of them, you're a real mom. But I thought the greatest thing I saw about a real mom, and I hope this doesn't gross any of you out, and I hope you don't leave the church over it. You're a real mom when spit is the number one cleaning agent. Well, isn't that true? You know, some of our cleanest moms, I'll see them cleaning their kids. Isn't that true, though? I mean, some of the cleanest moms that we have, if they see dirt on their kid, The word counsel is etzah in the Hebrew, and it's advice, it's a plan, it's prudence, it's advice, advisement, it's counsel, and it's purpose. The effect of disregarding the calls of God, when your fear cometh, your wealth cannot save you, your accomplishments cannot save you, death cares for none of these things. We will have fear of death, and it'll come upon us. We will have fear of the day that we stand before God, and as a Christian, we will stand before Him as the judgment seat, and you will have tremendous fear. And you say, oh, no, I'm saved. That's all that matters. Listen, friends, let me tell you something. That is not all that matters, being saved. It matters a lot how we serve Him. And if you think it's going to be easy for you to stand there and see people being cast into hell because you never witnessed to them, you didn't even witness to your family, you didn't even witness to your relatives, you didn't witness to anybody because you did not want to cause a stir, and you'll let them go to hell. And then when they ask you, why didn't you tell me, and you say, I didn't want to cause a stir, and they're going to spit in your face. They're going to say, I'm going to hell forever because you didn't want to cause a stir. When God calls, it pays to listen. You know, these things that we just talked about, they're very brief. These things that we get on this world are very brief. Last but a season. His patience will be worn out. Many obstinate refusals to do God's will. The shining day of grace. I don't mean there's not a time you can always be saved, because there is. But listen, there's a time when you've got the knowledge and you go against God. Now, you can't go to hell if you're a Christian because you were saved at the cross of Calvary. But you're going to be a time when God's going to mock you and He's going to laugh at you. Oh, God, help me. Help me. And you disobeyed and you disobeyed and you disobeyed and you disobeyed. And you mocked Him and you mocked God. And now God's going to laugh at you and He's going to say, see, I told you so. I told you so. Boy, that just gives me chills. I don't know if it does you, but that gives me chills. You know, when I think about a fool, the Bible talks about fools all the time. It's talking about being a fool, and Proverbs talks about being a fool over and over and over and over and over. You know, when I think about a Christian fool, I think about an ostrich. Did you know an ostrich eye is bigger than an ostrich brain? And I was thinking about that. That's the perfect example of a fool. Their eye, at least it's bigger than their functioning brain. They're ignoring all the things that God created us, and we're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever, and there's a world out there going to hell, and a fool says, I'm going to go out and live it up. I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to have fun. Oh, I'll get back to God sometime. But listen, you're raised as a Christian. Now, those of you that weren't, that's a different story. God's not as hard on you as those that have been raised with all the enlightenment. And when our eye is bigger than our brain, and see, we just say, oh, I just want. I just want. I don't know if you've ever watched that little cartoon, Christian cartoon, Davy and Goliath, that's put out by the Lutheran Church. It used to be the only thing out there for kids. It always has a great moral meaning. And Davy would not clean up his tools. He would not clean up anything. He would not put the trash away. Davy only concerned about his little racing cart that he had. So the dad said, "We're all going to get sloppy in this whole house. Now, I know a quicker way to handle that problem. A little quicker instead of all getting sloppy." But the point was, he got home. There's no food in the refrigerator because Mom decided not to go out and buy it. Everything was a mess. And all of a sudden, Davy decided that wasn't the way he wanted to live. Because he was only thinking of self. And when you only think of self, your eye is bigger than your brain. An ostrich. Fools hate knowledge because it has restraint. It has restraint. It's partly because of unbelief. Others are prejudiced against the things, or even against the messenger of God. Maybe one time the messenger of God got you upset. Maybe you got offended. And because of that, you decide, "I'm not going to listen to God." Well, that's being a fool. There's no perfect messenger of God. There's not a time that someone's not going to even maybe be wrong. Maybe they're not wrong. Maybe it was you that was wrong. But you got, "Oh, I'm not going to serve. I've got a reason. I'm not going to serve." Blah, blah, blah. I've had people say, "Well, the church I went to, I was hurt, and I don't want to get hurt again, so I'm not going to serve." That's stupid. That's really stupid. You're not in that church. Plenty of people leave here and say the same thing. Listen, friends, don't be stupid. Don't be a fool. You serve God because He's God. You don't serve God because of a church. You serve God because He's God. Period. Others who the love of the world, they don't serve Him, they don't listen, or their time, their business. Others through a false peace. I've had so many of them. "Well, I just have such a peace, Pastor. Since I left this church and I'm going to a liberal church and I'm going to a church that just tells you good things, I've got such a peace." What are you going to say? I doubt you really have a peace, but there is a false peace. If your peace is not based on the Word of God, let me tell you something. If it's not based on the Word of God, it's a false peace. Period. You know, if you're really serving God, you don't have to prove points, do you? About 2 or 3 years ago, my wife and I went to a restaurant, and there was a family there that I hadn't seen in years and years and years. They'd left the church. They'd come to me and told me I was quenching the spirit, and then went to a seeker-friendly church. And I went over, and I was very nice to them. I ran around the table and shook all their hands. And I was trying to be as nice as I could, show love. And then the man of the house started talking real boisterous. "Well, someone asked me what I think about so-and-so." And he'd seen it so I could hear him. The wife's face was beet red. Just beet red. She was so embarrassed. And her children were embarrassed. But this old guy just rattling on just to see if he could insult me. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're right, you don't have to act like that. God says to love your enemies. God says to love those that despitefully use you. And if God says that, I think that's what I would do. And everybody was so embarrassed. Everybody in the restaurant heard it. Anybody that had a brain knew that it was directed at me. And I just thought, what's the purpose? There's no purpose. There's no reason to ever act like that. There's just no reason for it. We don't have to act like that. If you're right, you don't have to prove that you're right. If you're serving God, you don't have to tell everybody how great it is. I hope y'all don't go around and go, "Well, hello. Well, I'm so sorry you left Quentin Road, because we're just so blessed." You don't have to say that. I hope you don't. You don't need to say that. If you're blessed, you're blessed. You don't have to tell everybody. Just show it in your face. Just show it in your face. Well, you know, when you don't listen to God, you know, the remedy, God warns that he'll strike. And when he strikes, your whole life has changed forever. And the results, you may be getting forgiveness, but you're going to pay for sin. The wages of sin pays a terrible price. And you're going to pay. And there's going to be a time that God will laugh at you. He said he had stretched his arms and no man would guard it. He laughs at our distress. I will laugh at your calamity. Their destruction has come as a whirlwind. They eat the fruit of their own way. And so many times I've seen that over and over and over. You know, throughout the years I've told very few blonde jokes, but every once in a while I get one I can't resist. There were three blondes and they were standing before the gate. Now we know you don't stand before the gate, so just hang in, it's okay. I can just see someone. I couldn't believe this preacher friend of mine, and he was down in Mexico, and some guy came and says, "Well, I hope you're teaching out of the King James with a Spanish Bible." Anyway, there's some people that just don't quite have it up here. Anyway, the three blondes, then St. Peter said, "Well, okay, I'll see if you're fit for heaven. Tell me what Easter is." And the first one says, "That's when we sit down in November and we share turkey." Out. The next one, "Tell me what Easter is." "No problem. We do that December 25th and we all sit around and give presents to each other." Out. The third one said, "No problem. It coincides with the Jewish Passover, and this was the time that Christ died on the cross and he was buried, and the third day he rose again. Then every year we celebrate it, and if he comes out and sees his shadow, we have six more weeks of winter." Now, that's okay. You say, "Well, how could you say that? Isn't that sacrilegious?" Listen, I got news for you. Our Lord Jesus has a lot better sense of humor than a lot of us, doesn't he? He sure does. He said, "I won't answer. I won't answer. It will be fruitless for you to pray." Well, he's made a way for us. He's made a good way for us to go to heaven. When you're in a difficult spot in your life, it seems that God is leading you through it. See, that's God's wisdom. When we're going through tremendous trials and we go through them. I just recently went through one. It was a tough one. You think, well, it's over. No, it's never over until you get up into heaven. But I knew God was directing me and helping me through it. I knew that God was helping me and directing me. And that was the greatest news that I could ever have. So when we're in a difficult spot, you know, I just love to be able to pray to God when I'm in a difficult spot. I just love to pray to God if I'm in a difficult spot. We were flying back in our little plane and we all prayed. And I said, "Lord, I want you to protect us and help us." You know, there was no storms, but we were flying in clouds. And we didn't want to get into icing, but we do have a de-icer on the plane, so we're very thankful for that, but we still don't want to get into known icing. And I said, "Lord, I ask you to be with us and help us." And we had just the tiniest bit of icing, and we turned on our little thing, and it took it off, and that is a tremendous blessing. But we flew all the way in without any incident, without any bumps, without anything. And I just said, "God, I just thank you that you watch out for us." But we were supposed to come back Thursday night. I spoke Thursday night, and there were thunderstorms. And Neil says, "I think it'd be safe to fly." I said, "Neil, there's no reason. We don't need to do it. We won't do it. We just won't do it." You know, God expects us to use our head, doesn't he? He expects us, you know, not to go into places of danger. And that's what he wants us to do. Wisdom puts the blame of our mistakes clearly on us. You know, a fool always says it's somebody else. "It wasn't my fault." And you parents, when your kid always blaming somebody else, you're always running to somebody and always running to a teacher and always complaining, and your child's this and this and this. Listen, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. Total, absolute foolishness. Don't do it. What is that teaching your child? Listen, I'd rather teach my child to obey authority, even if the authority's wrong, than to always defend them. I would rather have my teacher wrong and I teach my child authority than to teach my child that he's never wrong and I'll always defend him. Do you know what I just heard? And I think this is true. This is unbelievable, but we're living in such a state in the world today that mothers are going with their college graduates to the job interviews. That's the truth. And they interviewed this CEO, and he said, well, it probably doesn't help, but I guess it's okay. Come on, it's not okay. It's stupid. But the rate some of you are going, that's what you're going to be doing. Well, this is my little son. He's 23, ma'am. Yeah, but he's gentle, and you got to be gentle on him. Did you hear about the man that was not so bright? And he bought a loudspeaker system for the church and dedicated it to his wife. That's a really bright guy. He thought she'd just be thrilled. She wasn't so happy. And you could hear something very loud going afterwards. Point two, to be afraid and have not God. I can't imagine. I can't imagine all the times that I've called on God when I was fearful. And he answered and heard and listened. In Proverbs 1:27-29, and when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. The word fear is pachard. And it means alarm, it means dread, it means feelings of total and absolute fear. It means terror. Then the word answer, anah, it means something very, very, very strong. It says, he will not answer. In other words, he will not heed. He will not pay attention. He will not respond. He will not even begin to speak for you or shout for you or to give an account for you, but he will afflict you. Boy, I tell you what, we better think about that. You know, I think maybe I've shared this a long, long time ago about the little girl, and she says, Mommy, Mommy, there's thunder and lightning. Can I sleep in the room with you? She said, no, I have to stay in here with Daddy. And they heard the little girl going away. Big sissy. There's probably a lot more truth to that than we know. See, a child, instead of being prudent, has been rash. Instead of being economical, has been extravagant. Thrown away all their opportunities. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, and you know, my father always did so much for me. He always did so much for me. And so when he bought his car, he bought me a Chevy Supersport. Now, you know my dad really needed that. Y'all know what that, you know, bucket seats. And I had that to drive. It wasn't my car. It was his car, and I couldn't just drive it when I wanted to. But he bought that for me, a Chevy Supersport. And I remember squealing the tires, and I remember being very convicted of it. Because I was thinking, that's my dad's hard-earned money, and I'm being disrespectful, and I'm tearing up his car because I am so selfish, and I stopped doing it, and I never did it again. Because I did not want to hurt my father. And our teenagers, we don't want to hurt our parents, I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. He doesn't promise to restore the money or our health or our friends when we fail him. He just tells us this is what he'll say. I told you it would be so. I told you so. You must eat the fruit of your own ways and be filled with your own devices. You say, well, will he forgive me? Yes, he will. But if you've squandered your money, you won't get it back. If you squandered your opportunity, you won't get it back. You have to serve him and take your opportunities. Now, he forgives us. He's very generous, and he forgives a lot of times, and he lets you get back on the track many times. But there's a point that he says, it's enough, and I will laugh at you, and I will not hear you. I will not do what you want me to do. I just will not do it, and you may never with your impurity ever get over at this side of the grave. Every sinner, while unreconciled to God, is in immediate danger of loss of all things. Every Christian that is not serving God is also in immediate danger of loss of all things. Oh, no, not me. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter how I live. I can live as I please. Well, listen, friends, you can't live as you please because God will chasten you. It says some sleep and some are sick and some sleep. That means dead. You can't live as you please. You say, well, seems like he gets away with it a long time. Well, sometimes I found this out. It seems like those that have got the most light, God lets them get away with the most because he's letting you hang yourself and get you more and more to where when you pray, he will not answer. When you pray, he will not answer. And that ought to scare us. Point three, it pays to listen. Point three, it pays to listen. And it really does pay to listen. Let's look at the verses 30 through 33. They would none of my counsel. In other words, they have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Boy, that ought to scare you. I don't want to be filled with my own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Would you all just read that verse 33 with me? I just want to put that in our head. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. I just want you to have that in your mind. I love going to bed at night not having fear. I just love that. You know, isn't that great? When we will not be guided by God, he grants all our wishes and desires to show us how foolish and miserable they are. Oh, God, I've been blessed, man. I've been blessed, you know. There's this one family that kids are just totally wicked. And they said, oh, we're just being blessed. Well, okay. God will give you your wishes. But then you're going to pay. The day of reckoning is coming. If your living is separate from the way the Word of God is, the day of reckoning, you can tell, you can say you have peace, you can say you're being blessed, you can say you're getting all your wishes, but let me tell you something, the day's coming that's going to be over. And you're going to pay. You're going to pay. If I told you the amount of people that have told me how they paid, it's just an unbelievable thing. When a man is cursed, every prayer that he prays, God laughs. He learns bitter experiences, and a person learns that we are our own worst enemy. You'll find that out in your own life. There's no enemy you got. Even the devil's not as bad as our own selves. You know, that's why I like the hymn we sing tonight, Onward Christian Soldiers. Marching as to war. I remember when I grew up a Methodist preacher's kid, and I remember when the Methodist church changed that hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to all. All? That's what we put in our car, all. If you're Southern. The misery of such persons. The only way for a man to find prosperity, not destructive, is to serve God. Because prosperity to those that don't serve God will always lead to destruction. See, they're dangerous because they're not managed by God. They'll be managed by Satan. All the prosperity in the world cannot bring true satisfaction to him that enjoys it. For it is disappropriate to the spiritual and immortal nature of the soul. We better put our lives into Christ. And into Christ and nothing else and nothing more. If God calls, it pays to answer. The sense of present ease and easiness, it kind of makes us forget that change is near, that something's coming very quickly, and we kind of forget about it. We say, oh man, just look at all the things that we have. and how great it is and how wonderful it is, and I have ease. And then destruction's coming. Destruction's coming. And, oh, but I have, God's blessed me. Well, he may bless you with what you think's being blessed, but if you're going against the word of God, the day's coming when you'll pray and God will laugh at you. I hope I drill that in your heads, every one of you, every teenager, every younger than teenager, every middle-aged and every older person. I hope I drill that in your head tonight, that when you go against God, there's a time that you're going to pray and he'll laugh at you. I want you 20 years from now, if there's a sermon you remember me preaching, say, I remember the time Dr. Scudder preached and he said this, that there'd be a time if we don't serve God, that God will laugh at us. God will laugh at us. Pride lifts people up. God abhors it. Prosperity engages a person to be in total opposition of Christ. Now, prosperity is not wrong if you're doing it for God. If you're doing it for God, God will bless and honor it. That's not the issue. But if you're doing it for self, then it is wrong. If you're doing it for self, then it is wrong. People suffer so much from fears of evil. And many get so fearful and they're so afraid. Haven't you seen, I know a man that owned a professional football team and he got so afraid of getting dirty, he'd carry his own linens and his own pillows. Everywhere he went, he'd take his own sheets, his own pillows, own bedspread. He'd have them come in and clean his room with his own cleaning staff because he's afraid and afraid of catching some disease. Listen, friends, I got news for you. I don't care who you are. If you're that afraid of catching a disease, you're going to catch that disease you're afraid of because the fear itself will cause you to get the disease. Well, it will, won't it? I mean, come on. I tell you, if God didn't protect us, we'd have no protection, would we? Oh, but we're clean. Oh, you're not clean. Come on. Come on. I'm so clean. Oh, no. Well, I'm so worried. When I was down in right after Hurricane Katrina, and there was this medical doctor, and I was going to shake his hand, and he says, no, it carries disease. I said, doctor, are you that crazy? I said this. I was so fed up with him. I said, are you nuts? What do you mean? I said, we were just standing here, and those airboats blew that stinking water all over our face, and you don't want to shake hands. I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Where did you get this? Well, I heard it. I said, you're a doctor. You're supposed to think. I said, hi, did I make him mad? He said, well, you got his attention. I mean, people don't think. We got these airboats, and they're blowing this filthy water over us, and he doesn't want to shake hands. Because it spreads disease. People hear that and they go, well, don't we shake hands? It spreads disease. Man, if that were true, I'd been dead years ago. I'd shake every one of your hands. Doctors would all die going in the hospital. The nurses would all. How come they don't all get the disease? Because they get immune to it. The kids that get the sickest are the mothers that protect them the most. And then when, the ones in our nursery and all, and they get sick, some, they get immune to it. That's true. Everybody know that's true? If you know that's true, say amen. If you don't know it's true, hold your peace. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You want to know how to heal yourself? Stay in peace. Stay in peace. You want to have healing? Then trust God. I don't mean you ought to go out and try to see how many germs you can spread. I don't mean you ought to go sneeze in people's faces. I don't mean when you cough, you don't put your hand over your mouth. Don't you? I had a guy, God bless his soul, he came up to me on Thursday night, and he got right in my face, and he said, I know my breath smells. I haven't got to brush my teeth all week. I've been so... And he tells me this. And you want to say, look, you don't have to share so many things. It's better to just let it go. Just let me think you got a one-day halitosis. That's okay. Oh, man, and I'm looking at him. And, He said, I know that it says in the Bible, cleanliness is next to godliness. Oh, boy. It doesn't say that in the Bible. But anyway. But I wish it did. How wonderful would it be if all of us, as when we were teenagers, could have had the wisdom we had in our 30s and 40s? How wonderful would that have been? But God still says to obey Him, follow your parents, follow those, because you don't want to make those mistakes. Wisdom cannot be transferred. Knowledge can be taught. Facts can be taught, but wisdom takes understanding. Wisdom is something that it takes God, through His Holy Spirit, teaching in you and me to teach us wisdom. And wisdom takes understanding. It's living in the future as the present. That's what it's saying. We can turn our backs on God. We can pretend God doesn't exist. We can make all kinds of excuses and theories about how the universe was created without divine intervention. We can be ordered to hide a monument of the Ten Commandments. But ultimately, God has what? The last word. God has the last word. Boy, we got such a hatred. I was listening to WBBM this morning on the way into church, and I was listening to the people interviewing our friend Dave McSweeney, and they were saying, well, you don't believe in that, you have to believe that there was an intelligent design, do you? These are supposedly intelligent people saying, you don't believe there's a God, do you? And if you ask them, well, you're not atheist. Oh, no, I believe in God. But I don't believe you should touch science. Well, that's not science. Evolution's not science. Evolution's not anything to do with science. There's not any evidence of evolution. It's not science. Am I against teaching evolution? Absolutely not. I think you should teach it. We teach it in our school. We don't teach it as fact. We teach it as garbage, but we do teach it. I do think you ought to. Hey, you need to teach it. Can you imagine? Let's just say, now these aren't real flowers. Aren't they gorgeous? Those are so beautiful, they almost look real, don't they? Someone said those real ones are so pretty, they almost look artificial. But, these things didn't evolve. If I told you those flowers, now we know they're not real, but if I told you they just happened, over billions of years. Did you hear in Cambodia, I saw Dr. Carl Ball, my dear friend, and he had a couple guys, and they went and risked their life, and they went into one of the old Cambodia temples. And this temple, there's no way this thing could have been any other way, and they know it's been there for thousands of years, and they have an actual dinosaur carved in the temple itself. Perfect design of a dinosaur. No way it could have been planted there. No way, because it would have shown up if they'd have taken it away and chopped it out and redone it. It was always there in this temple. Always in this temple. Dinosaurs lived at the same time human beings lived. How would you get pictures of them if they didn't live at the same time? They didn't have film in those days, friends. The scientific world doesn't know what to do with that. Or in Glen Rose, Texas, where they find the dinosaur prints alongside a man's prints. They don't know what to do with that. Oh, man. I tell you, isn't that something? But I'm going to let this represent sin. And God says, this hand right for you and me, and God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. To go to heaven, you gotta be perfect. He who knew no sin, this hand right here, was made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. And they can look at us as righteous as they look upon Christ. Isn't that something?
over here on my right and your left, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Wow, it's a gift. Can you imagine someone going to hell and it could have been a gift? I know it's not easy to witness to your relatives. I know that. But I'll tell you what, you need to start praying that God give you an opportunity, and you need to take it. And so many of you have, and so many of you, when things, you know, you tell me about deathbed conversions, and that's all great, and it does happen, and it does happen, and can happen, and that's one of the great joys that God wants to give us.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Dr. Scudder. For more information about our ministry or to order additional resources, please visit our website, www.victoryingrace.org, or call 1-800-78-GRACE.